folks, let's get back up here. I think we're under.
Come on, Indigo.
Disclaimer. We do not own or claim ownership of the Pokemon franchise and any Pokemon established in official canon. That's all owned by Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures. This is just a podcast made by four friends who love Pokemon. It's our love letter to a franchise most of us grew up with, so please go support the official release. Previously on PKMN Legacy.
I'm asking if there's any kind of organization following you.
The closest thing we had to the whole evil team thing was this cult, but they got pretty much wiped out a while ago.
Chris will not let us go. Now is the only time we can do it.
You come across some sort of old abandoned lumber mill. Mogulcorp got to the star first. Truck's parked out there and all taped off now.
Boglet, the swamp swine Pokemon.
I love him.
You see a figure wearing brown robes. You also see a woman who is tied up.
We have to save her.
You see a familiar, grumpy face.
Chris! You join them?
Before we take a step further, we need to take a couple steps back. Chris, you wake up, it's a new day.
Oh, man. Now that was true beauty sleep. Oh my goodness. Well, better go ahead and get the day started.
He looks at the clock, if there's a clock in the room, to see what time it is.
About a little before 10 a.m.
Still close enough for breakfast, but not just lunch yet, so I think a good brunch would be wonderful.
He gathers himself, gets himself ready for the day. I'd say that takes him maybe like 30 minutes to an hour.
Fully showered and dressed, you head out into the lobby where the continental breakfast area is reaching its end.
But still not too late. It's too late, isn't it?
No, it's not too late.
Sweet.
In fact, you see some fruit and some yogurt still there.
Oh, wonderful.
He walks into the continental breakfast, gets a nice, I'm pretty sure it's probably a plastic cup, and pours a very cold glass of water, drinks it. I'm sated, and leaves.
The nurse Joy walks up to you. Oh, hello. See, you're all much better than last night, huh?
I am in a state of bliss from that wonderful sleep. It was great.
Actually, it seems that you also got some sleep as well.
Well, I had Chansey run most of the stuff for me. Oh, which reminds me, your friends left you this. And she hands you a note with Velma's messy handwriting that says,
"Be back soon. Trying to let Maddie not get killed."
He stares at it. Stares back at Nurse Joy, puts the paper down, and he says,
"Which way did they say they were going?"
Chansey, which way? Wait. Okay.
North.
Ah, thank you. Excuse me, I have to go find my friends.
Okay, well, we hope to see you again.
I hope so, too.
Starts making his way out of the Pokemon Center, and he's looking around to see which path they probably took or where specifically they were going.
Based on your best guesses, probably the same path they used before last night. But now it's nice and bright. You can see the path clearly.
Wonderful. He starts making his way there, and he's just rubbing his temple the first few walks there, and he's like, it's like owning two other sets of daughters, but so much worse. I don't think I can be too far away from them. I really hope Emily is doing much better.
And as you continue on, I want you to make a careful check.
Okay. That is a one.
With that one, you hear a rustling in the bushes behind you.
He stops walking and tries to look to where he saw the sound, or heard the sound, really. Does he see any shuffling in a bush or in a tree?
From the bush, out pops mushrooms. And attached to those mushrooms is a Paris.
Hmm. I can't believe I'm having the same dream as Maddie.
In denial.
That walks out of the bush, looks at you for a second, then walks around you and down the path.
So he just so happens to walk in the same direction as the Paris.
And as you walk down this forest path, you notice that over time, it's joined by more Paris.
Ah, I see.
You follow the Paris, and it occurs to you that you seem to be traversing this forest much quicker than if you were by yourself or with Maddie and Velma. And as you follow them for about 30 minutes off the beaten paths, you eventually come to this rusty chain-link fence covered in orange and blue tape with a strange logo that seems to be a fusion of an M and a C. Behind the fence, past some hillside and some shrubbery, you see an old, dilapidated building, various chutes and ramps darting out from its sides.
Hmm. It's actually an old lumber mill. This seems quite interesting. Oh, that's where they went.
And you notice that the Paris, when they reach the fence, make a hard left away from the sound of running water and walk alongside the perimeter of the fence.
Chris is going to make his way to where the Paris are going, because apparently the mushrooms know all.
You spend about a minute walking around the perimeter of this whole facility. As you walk past the fence, you see Paris on the other side. Eventually, you come to the point where they must have gotten through. There's this giant hole in the fence, cut wire strewn about.
Can he investigate to see, like, if they were cut with some kind of tool or if they were cut by a Pokemon?
Make a clever check.
That it was a negative one, so I'm assuming he does not know.
I'd say with that roll, you can easily tell that the wire is cut cleanly. There's no, like, frayed or melted or warped bits about it. It was sliced through. But you don't know whether it was cut by wire cutters or a Pokemon's very sharp appendage. Though you think to yourself, honestly, it wouldn't really matter. Either one is just as dangerous in the wrong hands.
He is definitely going to walk through it, but he's going to be quite cautious now.
Treading lightly through the facility, you get a much better view of the whole complex. Whenever this place was running, it must have been a very admirable operation, with smokestacks coming from the kilns and lumber piled high in the side lots. Now, though, it seems to be in the process of being reclaimed by nature. Cracks in the brickwork and the woodwork are being reclaimed by moss and vines and all sorts of greenery. You can even see from your angle on the ground that there are holes in the rooftops, an especially large one in the very center of the main building. You can tell from the shrubbery growing alongside the diameter of the circle. Eventually, the Paris lead you towards what seems to be a dirt parking lot outside a loading dock area. The shutters and the main door are both closed. Sitting in front of the dock is this truck.
It's just a truck.
It's a blue pickup truck with some sort of a white logo emblazoned on it.
Do I recognize this logo? Or would I have seen this logo anywhere?
It does match the symbol that you found on the taped-off fencing around the facility, but I think, since you are not native to Appalachia, this logo does not ring any bells for you.
Okay. I will investigate said truck, and I'm just going to be looking around the truck for anything that might pop out to me that's not just the logo, but the logo is now embedded in his mind.
Okay. You look around the truck, and you notice, are you just looking from, like, the window, or?
I am looking specifically either inside the bed of the truck or inside from the window perspective of a truck to see if I see anything that might be out of whack.
All right. Clever check to investigate.
Okay.
All right, with a 2, there doesn't seem to be anything in the bed of the truck, but you notice from looking in the window of the truck that you see a lot of junk food wrappers on the floor of the passenger side, and hanging from the mirror, the rear view mirror, is a lanyard with that same emblem on it before and an ID of some woman.
Would I be able to try to open the truck door?
It does seem to be unlocked. The locks are in the up position.
Chris is going to open it.
You open it, and no alarm goes off, so that's good.
Oh, thank God. All right. He takes a look at the lanyard from the mirror just to get a good idea of, like, who is it that's on this, like, identification card.
The photo on the card is of this rather chubby-faced redhead, shoulder-length hair with bowl-cut bangs. And the name on the card reads Angel.
Chris is studying this. I don't know what to make of this. Why would no one clean inside of this truck? He's looking around for a trash can. He starts grabbing the paper bags, cleaning them up and whatnot, and he's like, I just cannot. But people just don't know how to start cleaning after themselves and leaving things around. How do you think it attracts bug-type Pokemon if you start leaving things around?
Okay, I want you to make a careful check to see how thorough you are in cleaning this truck.
Okay. I got a 2.
That is a fair. Describe how you're cleaning it up.
Chris is picking up any kind of empty plastic bags of whatever snacks may be in there. He's cleaning up any crumbs he can find, putting them into the empty bags themselves, balling them up and collecting them in his hand until there's like a big wad of like trash in his hand. And he's looking around for a trash can to throw this all away.
As you try to scoot your way out of the car, your elbow bumps something and you hear a...
I hit the horn, didn't I?
You sure did.
Where's the trash can so I can throw this away quickly?
There seems to be a trash can right in front of the door leading inside the facility.
I run towards the door where the trash can is.
Make a quick check.
Oh, it's a 2.
Okay, that's another fair. You make your way to the trash can. Stuff it in. It's already overflowing, but you manage to just squeeze the plastic bags inside it. And as you do, you hear footsteps very close by on the other side of the door, and the handle begins to jiggle.
Chris, freezing in place, is just like kind of like a deer in headlights. He just freezes, and he's like, okay, I gotta think. And all he does is just stay there in that position. He doesn't move.
So just... frozen in mid-stuffing trash can?
Yes.
The door opens, and you are met face-to-face with this hooded figure. Seems to be in some sort of like a dark brown and green tribal robes or something like that. Only his eyes are uncovered by the robe and the scarf. And he sees you, and he looks right at you. All the while, you can see his fingers brushing against the Pokeballs attached to his belt. So, you lost, buddy?
You're probably wondering, right? Hi, yeah, so I'm Chris. I'm literally just a janitor. I know I look a little weird in my clothing, but haven't gotten the new clothing attire yet or any uniforms, but I will say this, that I was told to come here by this individual. I don't have a card yet, but she gave me hers, so I hope that's okay. While I was cleaning inside the truck, there was a lot of trash there, and also I realized you don't have any extra trash bags, which I was wondering where that's at. And also I could probably get some mopping done here while also doing some sweeping, but again, first time coming here.
I think the robed man looks at you for a second. I want you to make a... This is a straight-up lie.
Yeah.
It's not a very clever lie, so let's just make it sneaky.
Okay. Lying. Something Crystal never teaches daughter. Never lie, kids. That's a negative one.
Poor. The robed man just stares at you for a moment, and then his face warps into this tight-lipped smile. Of course. Cleaning day. How could I forget? Right inside here. And he opens the door and gestures for you to come inside.
Sir? I don't know if anybody told you, but, I don't know where that door leads.
It leads inside.
Did I ever tell you that you have a wonderful voice?
Inside. Now. His Pokeballs are at the ready.
Nah, I think I'll get back to cleaning, but thank you, though. So he just picks up the trash can, the entire trash can itself, and he's like, I will catch you later. Wonderful chatting with you. I have to leave, like, now.
The only thing you're cleaning is your clock or...
No, take...
Shut up!
No, take your time. I believe you.
And he throws out two Pokeballs. Hi there, Kay here, with you for another pause menu bit. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to support it, consider becoming a patron. For $2 and up, you get your name in the end credits of the video. $5 and up, you get access to bonus tidbits. Our latest one breaks down the music behind the gym battle with Wendy. And for $10 and up, we speak your name here in the pause menu, making you join the ranks of people such as Donkey Oto and Dongo the King. But hey, maybe times are tight and you're not ready for that sort of commitment yet. I understand. So I'll ask that you instead tweet about the show using the hashtag PKMNLegacy. Everything that helps get the show out there is much appreciated, and word of mouth is one of the best ways you can do that. Plus, if you tweet about the show using that hashtag, then we might use your name as one of the names of our NPCs. For example, Angel is named after Angel Tigress 777. So, on to the plugs. Hey, I actually have a plug of my own this time. Manapot Studios is a group of role players who stream their games on Twitch, and I recently played in their latest Happy Hour one-shot where we used the Worldwide Wrestling System. Now, I'm recording this before that stream has happened, because the stream happens less than 24 hours before this episode goes up, so getting the time straight is a bit wonky right now, but if that sounds like fun, you can go check them out on manapotstudios.com. And I'm sure that it is going to will have been a great time then, back now then. Okay, bye. Next plug!
So I wanted to plug something that I've been working on recently. I have started a TikTok, and my username is Cloudberry. That is CLOUDBEARIE. And I just post song covers, and I'm hoping to post some stuff about my original stories as well as some voice acting. So give me a follow there, and yeah.
Hey there, everyone. Terrence Dry here, and I'm here to plug in my new voiceover role as Cable in Skoroi's animations and comic dubs that will be coming out very soon. The latest one just dropped about 2 weeks ago, so if you would like to hear my voiceover work for Cable, along with several other voice actors, please by all means check out the link here in the description below. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, everybody. So, I'm sure the majority of you who are listening to this probably already know by now, but I sang in Vipsy Pop's new video, Addict, and I sang for Cherry Bomb for that video. So, if you want to go check that out, go ahead and do it. Okay.
So, the next episode will go up in 2 weeks on August 13th. Until then, back to the episode. Unpause. And out pops a Scraggy and a Stunky.
Aw, they're so short and adorable.
All right, Mr. Janitor Man. Pull out your Pokemon so I can wipe the floor with ya. Nailed it that time.
My Pokemon? These are like empty balls that I was given just to catch something if like any pest came around, but okay. I mean, if you want these empty Pokeballs, you can have them.
Good. Then you won't put up much of a fight.
Sicko. And he motions to the Pokemon to grab you. I
was trying to make this non-confrontational. But I guess it's not going to be like that.
Time to roll for initiative.
2.
First in the order is Stunky. All right, Stunky, poison gas it.
Poison gas.
And the Stunky turns around, lifts its tail, and a spray of noxious clouds hits Ginger in the face. But she blows it away with a jet of fire, unfazed.
Good girl.
Next in the order is Ginger.
I am going to use Fire Fang, and I will use it specifically on the Stunky.
Roll it.
Good lord!
Okay, so that's a 9-shift hit. You want to describe how it goes down?
Yes, I do. Ginger, after having the poison gas hit her in the face, literally blows smoke out of her snoodle and just blows it away, glares at the Stunky, starts walking very menacing towards the Stunky, and then she jumps, bites on it, and just starts shaking it around, fire literally searing from her fangs and biting hard into the Stunky, causing a lot of damage.
Well, I did try to stop any confrontation from happening, but you did this to yourself, sir.
You shouldn't have done that.
Oh, no.
The Stunky hanging in Ginger's mouth starts to vibrate and pulse with energy.
No.
And then all of a sudden, boom! The energy explodes with a cloud of noxious gas everywhere, filling the inside of Ginger's mouth with the Stunky's aftermath. So that's a quarter of Ginger's health nicked off.
Chris is, he's a little panicky right now because he's like, oh no, she just got majorly damaged. But he's trying to stay somewhat calm to keep thinking of a situation to get out of this, but he's not mentally right at the moment.
Go on, Scraggy, headbutt while she's still dazed. Scraggy jumps up in the air, comes right down on Ginger for 4 shifts of damage. Making Ginger stagger a bit, but she's still in the game. Top of the order, Ginger.
I would like to look around Chris's surroundings.
There's the truck behind you, and there's litter all over the ground. Other than that, not many points of interest for you to use to your advantage.
He's going to keep fighting. That seems to be the only way out of this. And he's going to point back again. Ginger, use Fire Fang on that Scraggy.
Okay, go ahead and roll it.
Well then.
7-shift hit.
Ginger, angry after the aftermath of that little noxious gas and a headbutt from the Scraggy, immediately shifts her glare over to the Scraggy and just runs at it, pins it down and just starts biting it.
The Scraggy is flailing around trying to get free of its fangs, and eventually with a well-placed jab to the snout, it manages to break free and stagger back a bit. And you see it reach around for a pile of litter and trash, and it throws it into Ginger's face. Sand attack.
Ooh.
And you are now blinded.
Okay.
Your turn again.
I will have Ginger use Odor Sleuth.
She sniffs around a bit and manages to, even through the thick stink from that aftermath, she is still able to pinpoint Scraggy.
She has her eyes closed, but she is kind of like in the direction of the Scraggy and is just snarling at it.
You see the cultist look at you for a second.
I stare back.
The cultist is shaking in his boots and he recalls both Pokemon and says, nope. And he goes inside the facility. And you can hear him calling for help.
We always gotta do things the hard way, don't we? He's gonna recall Ginger. He'll heal her later, but now he's looking for an exit to get out of here. Can he go through the same way that he came in?
Yes, you can. You're making a retreat then?
Yes.
Okay. So you manage to duck around the gate and head into the underbrush out of sight. you see the same cultist come back out with two more right behind him, and they are looking around for you. But let me roll for their approach. Careful. I need you to make a sneaky check.
A sneaky check. Okay. Oh. Oh, no.
So the cultist got a 3 and you got a negative 1.
This is not going to end well.
What are you doing in your hiding place that would alert them?
Well, what Chris is actually doing, what he would like to do, was as he's running, he was going to go and drop something of his to kind of throw them off, like an article of his clothing, which would probably be his jacket, most likely, and then go a completely opposite way to kind of get away from them. Like, he's not going to stop and hide. He's going to just keep running until he gets to, like, a place of safety.
The jacket gets caught on your arm as you try to wave it off, which makes just enough of a rustling noise to alert the cultists, and they chase after you with their own Pokemon at the ready. You're surrounded by 3 cultists, a Scraggy, a Baltoy, a Dunsparce.
Oh, this is really not my day. He's going to just stop running, fixes his jacket. All right, you caught me. I'm not gonna run anymore. And he puts his hands up in the air.
Does he get a fate point for losing?
Yes, you do. You get... Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome. I got you dry.
I think for accepting defeat, I'll give you 2 fate points for that.
Woo! Yay. I got you dry.
Thank you.
And now that we have both sides of the story, let's pick back up where we left off. Chris, you are ushered through corridors and hallways by these 3 cultists. You are tied up, bound in hempen rope. 2 of the cultists go to this roller door, and they both pick it up and lift it up and over as you 3 enter the kiln chamber. Only to come face to face with a very surprised Velma and Maddie, and the woman you saw on the ID card hanging from the truck, Angel.
And Maddie's just like almost in tears, and she's like, I can't believe you betrayed us!
Chris side-eyes them, but he doesn't say anything.
One of the cultists behind Chris looks at the 3 of you on the other side of the kiln and sees an untied-up Angel.
Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding. Ty, you had 1 job in there!
Sorry.
Right, we only have enough rope for 1 of you, so everyone else just wait your turn.
Yes, because clearly you know how to handle 1 old man, considering you needed 3 to get me. But hey, you know, you totally have enough rope to keep the very dangerous one here.
Shut up!
Yes, no, totally, I will. By all means, you're the one who's in charge here, not me.
Well, I have a feeling that we're gonna have to battle these guys. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling too.
Man, I really am starting to realize that Team Magma was a lot worse than I remember. You guys don't know what you're doing, do you?
Yeah, laugh it up while you still can, old man. But when the high cultist gets back, oh, you're gonna regret it.
Mm-hmm. And when will that be?
How about now?
And from the hole in the center of the floor, you see 2 figures leap from the darkness into the air, and they land perfectly still on the edge of the hole. The first figure is a Lucario, eyes narrow and focused. The second figure is a woman, dressed in similar garb as the other cultists, with the leather armor, the bracers, the scarf, the sashes, but no hood. There's nothing to block you from seeing the green war paint that races along her well-toned arms, up her face, meeting right where her blonde crop-topped hair starts.
So, who's going to explain what the hell is going on?